Well, I'd say as a general rule, I am a relatively patient person. I can see things through a little further than having to make something happen right in that second or to do something I may regret later. I suppose we are all faced with challenges of some type. Because we are certainly part of a culture that has been or isn't being trained to, I call it quote unquote, have it now. And I'll be the first to admit the ability to order it and have it the same day or within a few hours is something uniquely special. Believe it or not, I did it just today. I noticed something that I knew there was an answer to, and I did some research and was able to order it. And for an additional small fee, it could be delivered at my front door in 4 hours or less. Maybe you've done something similar to that. Answers from God may or may not come in such a way, though. Actually, we have no control over them when the proverbial it may come, but we do know that it will come. And so tonight, the title of this teaching is called The Art of Waiting. And I'm going to look and go to a few verses tonight about what God says about waiting and what does it mean from a biblical perspective. But just to kind of give a little bit more of an introduction, think of all of the different things that you end up waiting for. I mean, it's so funny. Even when I called on Wally to pray, there was a period of time there that I gotta say I was unsure whether he was going to take himself off of mute and begin praying. And there I was waiting for something to occur. And it's kind of like what kind of people are we in the process of waiting? You ever been to the hospital or the doctor and you're in the waiting room? How about if somebody is late, running late, or you're getting ready to pick them up or they want to get picked up, and you know what they say? Wait for me. Or how about you can wait there? Or let's just wait and see. Wait here. How about a waitress or a waiter? Or he or she lays in wait. You ever been waiting in traffic? Waiting for the baby? Now somebody else might say, hey, wait a second, please. And so this word gets used so frequently and in practical daily living, this is just so true. I tell you, last night I called out for some takeout food on my way over there. Thinking, it'll be pretty close to when I arrive, when I can get it. And the gentleman said to me as I was about hanging up, he said, I'll see you in about 45 minutes. I was like, wait a second here now. I'm on my way over there. I didn't say this to him right in that moment. And so when we got in there, we kind of joked around a little bit. But I did end up waiting. I did end up having a period of time there between the time I had called and when the order was actually ready. And it was so cute because the girl who gave me the food actually said, well, it was only 23 minutes that you had to wait. And then today, I went to get a haircut, and they have this sort of this process where you check in online. But when I got there, it seemed like they were running behind. So you know what happened? I ended up waiting in their waiting area to be called for my turn. And this happens in so many different things in so many different ways. And like I opened this thing with, for the most part, I'm generally a very patient person. I know some people are waiting for them going out to dinner. There's a line. They're just like, hey, I'm not waiting. Let's go somewhere else. Let's do something else. And so, like I said, partly in our culture, we are just got to have it now. We don't want to wait for anything. My golly, if the internet goes out, it's like you know, our day can come to an end, and it's like a dark cloud just came over the house. I mean, my gosh, where's the internet? You know, my cell phone isn't working or whatever. So waiting and doing it patiently, honestly, is probably a little bit more of a lost art. And I wanted to look at a few verses because I think it really is an art at this point, an art form. And that's why I kind of coined that phrase, the art of waiting. And we're putting it in the context of waiting for God, waiting on God. And the first place I want to go is in Psalm 27, verse 14. And there are a ton of places where the word wait is used, waiting, things to do while you're waiting. But I'm going to pick out a few here that I think were, you know, the places God would have me to go. And this first one in Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How about Isaiah chapter 40? You guys are familiar with this verse, I'm sure. Isaiah 40, 31. You can probably quote it right as we're talking about it. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I love this verse. You do too. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But it says that's kind of a conditional promise there, isn't it? Because it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And sometimes we, unfortunately, we just get the cart, to quote a thing, make an old statement, we kind of get the cart in front of the horse. You know what I mean? And we're kicking down doors and we're pushing forward into situations and circumstances and trying to get solutions. And so we maybe don't wait on God to really be the prime mover, to take a step, to show us what to do, because we're so just, I don't want to wait. I want to get what I want to get, and I want to get it now. And sometimes when the word of God does not come to pass like we think it should in our time frame, then we are prone to move forward in our own strength. You know, if you think about some of the, I'd say the more famous records, people like Noah, Moses, David, Joseph, Abraham, just to name a few, these gentlemen waited for quite some period of time. Noah waited 120 years. Moses waited 40 years. David waited 15 years from the time that he was anointed by Samuel to the point that he actually physically became the king in manifestation. Joseph waited 13 years, and he waited in captivity, right? Abraham waited 25 years to see the promise of Isaac to come to pass. He waited from age 75 to 100. And there are others, plenty of other sections in the scripture that talk about waiting. So we know it's a positive thing. It's not just a passive killing time. You know, now I can't say about going into the waiting room or waiting for takeout food or waiting for a haircut or maybe you're waiting on hold customer service. You know, we've all done that. And that can be kind of frustrating because there you are, you're waiting. Fortunately, they put a thing into play now where if you push one, they'll actually take your number and call you back. And so you're just not sitting there listening to elevator music. But waiting is not just killing time. E.W. Bullinger, who we respect and know for his work in the Word, says that waiting is not passive, but it's a profound, active, and patient endurance, intertwining one's life with God with an expectation of future good. Like when you take strands of a rope and you braid them together, they are twisted together. They make an inseparable connection. And so waiting is not killing time. It's looking forward with hope and expectation, with trust in God's timing, rather than it just being a passive pause, like, oh, well, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, it's grabbing a hold of the promise of God and trusting that God, our Father, is working behind the scenes, and that the ultimate solution will be the very, very best thing possible. Look in Psalm 37. Let's go back there. The art of waiting. I would say probably in biblical culture, learning patience, learning to wait, was a little bit more of a cultural thing that children, I would assume, would be taught at a younger age, because maybe, I mean, not that people weren't impulsive, but there weren't as many temptations to be so impulsive. I mean, we have things at a moment's notice. I mean, you can go on your banks tonight, right now, and see all the transactions and all the different things that have happened, and in a moment's notice, you can, you know, so there's all these factors that kind of breed this source, this sense of, you know, what have we been told? It's like instant gratification. You know, by golly, I can't wait for it. I got to have it. I got to have it when? I got to have it now. And so when that gets into the spiritual walk, you know, it could make us a little bit frustrated, I guess, because we aren't seeing it happen in our time frame. Well, let's look at Psalm 37, verse 7. We're back to the list. We looked at Psalm 27, 14. Isaiah 40, 31. Now we're in Psalm 37, 7, where it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. There, those two words are combined together. Fret not thyself, or don't worry, or get all worked up or anxious because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. See, sometimes it's just so easy to compare and say, hey, so-and-so and such and these people, they don't have what I have, and poor me, and why me? You know what it says? Rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That we have confidence in God. We have trust in God. You know what? God is our Father. You know? He is not distant. He's not untouchable and unapproachable. You know, God, it's my thoughts and feelings. They do not determine how God treats me and helps me. They are not the standard of my mistakes are not my identity. The devil may try to make it like that. Our failures, our mistakes, our parents, the way things are. But you know what? We're moving in a whole different direction. And the encouragement, I realize it's Old Testament, but Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Let's not get too worked up and worried about somebody else who lives next door who is driving a car that's nicer than yours. Let's look to God. Amen. Let's look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. Lamentations 3:25. Yeah, here it is. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Like I said, we're just kind of moving through here, looking at some specific records that talk about the benefit, the blessing, the beauty, the grace in really learning how to wait. And like you, I'm waiting for Christ's return. One day, it will happen. I look forward to it with expectation. It's not really just a passive. I mean, in my heart, I'm desiring it. You know, it says in, I think, Romans, where the whole creation groaneth together, waiting for the fulfillment that Christ will bring when he returns in a moment of time. Look at Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. Yeah. Isaiah 64, 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. God has a future planned. We don't know all the specific details unless God is revealing some of that to us individually. We know what our future is according to what we understand it to be from God's word. And this looks like a portion of scripture that's in Corinthians. But it's so beautiful that since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen, besides thee, God, what you have prepared for them that wait for you. Oh, it's so beautiful. You know, God's ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. My thoughts don't, and they don't, and they cannot keep me from God loving me or wanting to bless me. My thoughts may keep me from recognizing his ways and his thoughts, but it does not change his ways and his thoughts and his desire to express his goodness, kindness, grace, love, and forgiveness. God only wants good for me. He only wants good for you. He wants the best for me. He wants me blessed. My Father, he wants me happy. My Father wants me fulfilled. He wants me to love him willingly. Oh, boy. It's just so rich, so full. These are things that God has in store for us. God is fulfilling, even as we speak, see. What is that waiting? It's a restful trust in the goodness of God, really. It's a restful trust in God's wisdom, and a restful trust in God's love, and restful trust in God's care, that he knows what's happening. He knows where this all is going. It's not passive. It's like with outstretched neck. We're looking forward to the finish line, right? Like Philippians 3 talks about, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, right? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in a press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we trust while we wait, that God, our Father, is working behind the scenes with the ultimate solution that will be the ultimate. It's going to be the very best for us. You know, waiting is a secure attachment to God, and we trust that he is faithful and that his timing is absolutely perfect. And sometimes we just have to slow down. We have to step back, and maybe we have to make a conscious decision and say, you know what? I'm not moving forward on this decision or on this particular aspect of my life until God is really showing me exactly the best thing for me to do. I want to look in Psalm chapter 130, if we can call those chapters. Let's just call them Psalms. Psalm 130. Oh, God, yeah, let's see. Psalm 130, here we go. Psalm 130, verse 5. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Get the point? Verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. Because God knows what's coming. God ultimately has the perfect solution, the perfect answer. And this waiting is not passive. It's not passive. It's active. It may look passive, but it's not, because it's a really kind of a thing that's happening in our heart. Now we're going to go to another section of the word, Micah. We don't go there a whole lot. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Yeah, getting Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then we just kind of keep going. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. And this may be kind of a good place to close, where it says, therefore, Micah 7, 7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Just like these men of old and women of old, Noah, Moses, even Sarah. And hey, how about the wives of these people? They waited too, right? David, Joseph, Abraham, Jacob. Poor guy served Laban for Rachel for 14 years. Talk about waiting in line for dinner, waiting for a haircut. Can you imagine? But he had to have confidence in God's love, God's care, God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And that's exactly what waiting is all about. It's to have that restful trust in his goodness, God's wisdom, God's love, and God's care. And that we're going to have good at the end result. Amen. So the art of waiting, something we learn, something we practice, something we get better at, learning to wait peacefully, not full of anxiety, not full of worry and doubt. And I wonder if this and I wonder if that. No. The art of waiting is just to have that restful expectation that God will work on our behalf. Amen. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to have you as our Father, and you're revealing that kindly to us day by day. I just thank you for moments like this where we can go to your word and see what you say about a particular subject, Father, and that we may have things that disturb us and frustrate us in the world, things that we're impatient about, Lord, but I pray for wisdom and patience and great faith to just be a part of your plan and just to stay with you, Father, to stay connected. And I'm so thankful that we are where we are. May not be perfect, but we know that you are perfect, and we know that he who is in us is perfect, Father. And so we pray these things in the name above all names, the names that we carry, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.